try to watch the news and try to figure it out. Because you see, you can start out with long pants, and by the end of the day, you have short pants and an umbrella. You just never know. But that's okay. We're ready. We're prepared. We're prepared. But amen. Well, I want Marie, would you come, please? Marie wants to share just a little bit.
Facts.
You know, we've been praying for her daughter because her daughter is going for a year to South Korea. And so I know we prayed with Ty. And so I just wanted her to give an update of what's going on out there with her, okay?
First of all, I have to apologize. On Thursday, when we had Bible study, I said that it was northern, in South Korea, the northern part, but actually it's the center. So where Seoul is, that's about where she is. The province that she's in is a little bit north of Seoul, but it's not. I gave the wrong impression of that, but anyway, so
it's South Korea, in the middle of South Korea.
But anyway, she's in a city called Cheshion. It doesn't look like it's pronounced that way, but that's how you pronounce it. But population of about 137,000, and she's teaching at a school which I misunderstood was an international school. It is in a sense, but they changed the name. It's more or less a camp, an English camp. So what they do there is they teach elementary kids, anywhere from up to seventh graders. So they'll teach them one series of lessons for a week, a new set of kids come in. So, but it's not always like that. It's in fact, in, she said, April, for 11 weeks, they'll be teaching the all-day camps. So and the weird part is when they finish these camps, they go out to these public schools and they recruit kids. If the kids are interested, so they're like salespeople, I guess, to entice the young people to come into this supposedly prestigious school. But praise God, he put her in there. And I wanted to say this, which kind of, it's really freaky because we don't hear that around here, but in order for her to go in her teacher's office, she has to be fingerprinted, and she can only get in with a fingerprint. No keys, nothing like that. So that's interesting, you know. But let's see. She did have her first, this is our Sunday, so it's Sunday night over there, early Monday morning, but she did go to church yesterday, at Baptist Church. And they were very friendly. Group of about 30 people. There's about 15 kids in the group, and it's a beautiful little small group which she loves. You know. The pastor is Filipino. His wife is Korean. His wife has already been to Baton Rouge because I believe she went over there to see how they run the Baptist church, and she's like a church planter. So how exciting is that? God placed her in a church that actually speaks this word. And in fact, she said the sermon was about the preacher, of course, talks in Korean, but then there's an interpreter. So he said something about it is because of the blood of Jesus and the work that he did on the cross and what he did on the cross for us that we have eternal life. So she said, it sounds like what we're familiar in hearing, you know. Anyway, I do have an update on her address. There's a little sticky situation with the address thing, okay. I think if we want to send her like letters or cards or something, it's okay to write it in English. She's emailing me her English address alongside with the Korean. I have to send her packages, so, and I'm not saying that y'all need to, but if you do want to send her a package, what I'm going to do is I'll print out both languages, and we'll give it to you. We'll hand some out in case you want to write letters and stuff. But I will have to send the English one and the Korean side by side in the package. So that, you know, she was talking to people, and they said they probably didn't understand the English. Maybe not. So I'll make sure we'll print plenty of papers, and then all you have to do is cut it out, stick it in the letter or whatever, with both addresses. So, yeah. But, and the great part is, this is just wonderful. She graduated in 2004 in Tucson with a degree of theater arts education. And back then, I was like, Lord, how can you use this theater teaching drama, right? Who teaches drama? But God has had her and placed her in this position that next month, the teachers want her to teach them drama so that they can incorporate that into their lessons. She's there for teaching English because this is an English camp. And there are several teachers from Australia, New Zealand, Canada. There's different teachers there, but they're very selective in who they pick. And, you know, and it's just God's way of, you know, having His way in your life. So everything that, oh gosh, what am I doing this for? Well, you never know. Bring you where He wants you to be, but it's hard. Please keep praying for her. It's hard out there. She does not know Korean. I mean, she knows some of the phrases, and some of the teachers are wanting to teach her, but her having to do lesson plans and trying to learn Korean, that's it. Kind of must have been something she should have looked in a while back, but she's emerged and immersed, I'm sorry, and that's how you learn, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the update. So she is there teaching English, but God's going to use what she went to college for and teach the teachers that are there, or the leaders. So, Andrew, why don't you come? I want you to share with us what's happening with the prison ministry. I know Andrew's looking to go into the prison one in Vermilion Parish and preach the gospel. So,
just an update.
So I met with the parishioner last Monday. With the parishioner, and now I have a meeting with the captain Monday, tomorrow. So keep in prayer about that.
So, you know, it takes time. You know, God will do things, put things upon your heart, and we can't resist those things. Can't resist. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. We've got to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit because He knows, you know, what's happening at that prison and how they need to know the truth of the gospel, the truth of preaching the gospel and then coming to the knowledge of Christ. You might say, well, yeah, they in prison, but yeah, everybody needs to hear the gospel, no matter what. Salvation is free to all, no matter what has gone on in their hearts and in their lives. Amen. All right. Lord, it's on. Yes, everything's y'all ready for takeoff. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before you. Say, this is life.
This is life.
I will honor it today.
As this word
brings life,
to
my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2, please. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Probably each and every one of us can go back in our hearts and lives and remember when we got saved. Remember when we gave our hearts to the Lord. How the Holy Spirit came in and convicted us and brought us to a place where we would give our hearts finally to him. You know, God couldn't overstep that. All God can do by the Holy Spirit is draw people to him, convict people of their sin, convict myself or you of our evil ways, and make us come to a place where we say, Lord, I can't make it on my own anymore. That I need a Savior, that I need a God, that I need a Lord that can point me in the right direction, that can help me when I need help, that can give me wisdom when I need wisdom, that can heal my body when my body needs to be healed, that can give me what I need in serving you because you are my God. He's the only one. And we remember, I remember the date. I remember almost the time. I remember who prayed with me. I remember where I was, and I remember where I was sitting. Because it was that so much of a change in my heart and in my life, something that happened here. And you might say, well, you know, and hey, look, I was only 15. I hadn't killed anybody yet. I hadn't done anything, you know, that bad. You know what I'm saying? But still sin on the inside of our hearts that just draws us away from God and draws us to something evil, towards the enemy. But we all can remember that. And the grace of God, as he came and as we said, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins, and I accept you into my heart and life. And it seems like the weight was just lifted. Oof! And it's like, you know, you felt free, you felt light, you felt really like a new creature in Christ because you have accepted Jesus and myself as Lord and Savior of our lives. We remember those things and how the grace of God came upon us and helped us. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is the author of the book of Galatians. He was writing to the Galatian church in Galatia. It was a letter pinned down for them. Now, this is what it says. It says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, you know, it's who? The Apostle Paul that is writing to the Galatian church. And he says, I am crucified. That means he gave his life to the Lord. He's laid his life at the altar of our God. You know, saying, this is it, Lord. It's not my life anymore. You know, that's the amazing thing is this. When we make the decision, we're on the path and we're just living our lives. You know, we get up in the morning, go to work, we eat, we do, we take a bath, we work, you know, we spank the kids, we take care of them, we do whatever, all that stuff. We're going on in our lives. That's just our life, okay. But then all of a sudden, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost comes, and we get saved. We're walking in our life, and all of a sudden, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We turn to the Savior. That means the life that I was living before is no more. I am crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So, when we give our lives to the Lord, we turn to him, and we say, Father, I don't make the decisions anymore. Father, I do what you want me to do through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did at Calvary's cross. Interesting. Now, look at the second part, the second verse. It's, and Paul was saying this. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. We know grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. That means we can never earn it. grace is never earned by God's people. We cannot buy it, you know. We cannot, you know, I cannot go to the store and say, give me 100 pieces of grace. You know, I know it's logical, but we can't do that. We can't bribe God and say, God, if I give X amount of money, if I do this, if I give all my clothes, if I give all my possessions, then I can maybe buy some grace from you. We can't do it. There's no way. Grace is something that's unmerited. That means we cannot buy. You know, anybody who's in Boy Scouts? Nobody? Nope. Boy Scouts. Who else was in Boy Scouts? Nobody. Where's the Boy Scouts? My Lord. You know, the Scouts honor and all this stuff. Oh, Lord. You know, we had merits that we had to earn and do things for. You know, we get the merit badges and we get the pins. I mean, we had the pins all over the ties and our satchel thing, pins, and I mean, we had all that going on. I mean, we had to earn it, though. That was merit. We did something for it. We went to a lesson. We learned things. But with God, unmerited faith, that means we cannot do anything to earn the grace of God at all. At all. At all. Look, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So that tells me that we, as Christians, can frustrate the grace of God. Ooh. Ooh. We can frustrate it. Has anybody ever been frustrated about something? Look, everybody in the house can tell, too. He's a little frustrated, or he's a lot bigger, and she's a little, just frustrated about something. We can frustrate the grace of God. Something that we've never earned, but we can frustrate it. Look at this. Let's see. Let me show it here. Grace in the Greek is charis, charis. Its meaning is favor, blessing, or kindness. So, grace is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. So, the grace of God is something that is, God gives us favor, God gives us blessing, God gives us kindness. Okay? Now look at this. In John chapter 1, verse 17. Let me hurry up and read that. John chapter 1, verse 17. Not before Luke John. Keep your finger on Galatians, though, because we're going to come back to that. Look, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's all. We need to make sure that we know that the grace of God, which is unmerited favor towards an undeserving people, we are undeserving, but God gives us blessings, favor upon us. You know why? Because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. The grace of God. Go back to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, please. I do not frustrate the grace of God. As Christians, people, I want you to get this. You and I can frustrate the grace of God. And I know the question you're asking, how do we do it? How do we do it? How do we do it? Let me give you one example. This is just kind of like general, basically, but how many times, and even in myself, years ago, God would deal with my heart to go to church. I mean, go to church. God would deal with my heart, and I'd say, Lord, I want to. You're nearly 15, 16, and you still kind of, you know, you want to, but yet whatever. And every time the Spirit of God would come and say, Joe, go to church. time I turned around and didn't go, that frustrated the grace of God. You might say, well, isn't God all merciful and all? Yes, he is. He's all merciful. He's all gracious. He's all kind and all those things. But yet, he's a God that says whatever we put in the ground, that's what we will reap. Whatever we do, you know, that will come upon us. You know, we will reap the things that we put in the ground. Unless sometimes he can lessen it, though, if it's not good. But that's just in the goodness, too. When we put good things in the ground, and we plant the word of God in our hearts, and we plant good things and good to people and help people and share the gospel with people, God will come back and bless us beyond measure with that. You know, that's just like finances. When we obey what God says about finances, and just myself, when we obey in giving what God says to give, God says he will what? Pour out a blessing upon us. That he even says that he will open up the windows of heaven and he will pour it out upon us. You know, every time we don't do what the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts, every time we resist him and stop and don't do, we frustrate the grace of God, which is unmerited favor towards us. But it frustrates not God so much, but his grace that's being poured out upon his people. We need to be a people that we are like the Apostle Paul at this time. Now, that doesn't mean he never frustrated the grace of God. Yes, he did. But at that time, he wasn't. Because he was obeying the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we sometimes think it very lightly sometimes when the God speaks to our hearts. You know, I mean, you know, just in little things, you know, in any, you know, and I hate to say little things because with God, everything's important. When he speaks and tells us to do something or to say something or to give something or to help somebody, that's important. And when we obey, we're not frustrating the grace of God. We're in line with what God is doing. We're in line with the Spirit of God. We're in line with the anointing of God. You know, how many times I've spoken to people where, you know, I've tried to encourage them to go to church somewhere. Go to church. Find a place to go to. And they just resist. And the Spirit of God is working on them. I've had people tell me, you know, personally, tell me, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit came into my home and told me to get to church, and I went once or twice, and now I've turned and have not gone back. And I thought, oh my God. So, at the beginning of that life, that means when they decided, as God was working on them, and they said, yes, I will follow Christ, and I will do what he says to do, they were not frustrating the grace of God anymore. I mean, they were really, it was flowing in the Spirit of the Lord, flowing in what God wants. By the time they started to resist and say, no, 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 I don't want to do that anymore. It says that, well, we know from the scripture that it starts to frustrate the grace of God. And you know, look, anybody perfect, raise your hand. No, what? That's it. I like it. She's perfect. Please come up. I want to see somebody tell her. She's funny. I like it, though. The only perfect one was Jesus. No one's perfect. Because the Holy Spirit has to work on us. But let me tell you, as he starts to work, don't resist. How many times has God spoken to you to get up a little early in the morning? Say, Lord, did you know the time changed? Let me remind you, Father, about this time change by man. But I want you to get up a little early and spend just a little bit more time through reading of his word, through praying the scriptures. I want you to, you know, once a week, you know, just instead of going to lunch, just take that 30 minutes or an hour and just worship. And anytime we do what God says, we're flowing in the Spirit and the realm of the Father. And sometimes we take it lightly when we resist Him. And we think, look, you know, God's all merciful, He'll forgive me. And yes, He will. Yes, He will. But let me tell you, He is our Father. We gave our lives to Him. He gave His Son for us. And so we need to not frustrate the race. And I'm not talking about, you know, there's many things God is working on in everyone's life. You know, there are probably things in all of our hearts, I know of, that may be sin of some kind. You know, all I know from this. You know, I passed the mail, a mail carrier, you know. But I have a lot of, in one area of my route, I have a lot of Pentecostal people that live in those areas, you know. Very nice people, most of them. But they know a pastor, they know a preacher. And so, you know, they're really, you know, some are just, they give me towels, and it's raining, an umbrella, water every day, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. So, you never know what you're going to walk into, because they all live kind of by each other. So you walk in, and here they are having a Bible study. Well, I'd say Bible discussion. And so the lady that lives there that's Pentecostal, her caregiver's not, but she's a Christian. And so the lady said, yeah, Pastor, is it a sin to have a beard? It kind of floored me a little bit. You know, it's like I kind of, it's like she could see in my face, like, this is what you worried about? You know, come on. And so the other lady said, I don't think so. I said, well, I said, I'll be honest with you, I've never seen it in Scripture where it says that if I have a beard, you know, that or a man has a beard, then that's sin, or long hair, that's sin. It does, not that I know of. I don't see it in Scripture. And so we laughed about it. So we're going to try to find out the Scriptures and all this. You see, sometimes we've got to realize this. Man-made stuff is not sin. Man will come up with all kinds of stuff, people. But I tell you, it's that word that we need to get a hold of and say, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any wicked way in me. So before I left, I closed the door and I opened it and I said, now, if I come next week with a beard, I'm not in sin, though. Oh, okay, they laugh, you know. But you see, you know, it's like, some, and I know it's the religion, and that, you know, whatever. But, you know, sometimes we can go into things that just really doesn't mean much. It really doesn't mean much. Because what is God looking at? The heart of a man. What, don't frustrate the things of God. Flow with the Spirit of God. Don't fret the grace of God, for if righteousness come out of the law, then Christ is dead and is in vain. We need to do everything we can, people, to flow with what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. And you know, and look, what does it mean, you know, you have to walk around with your hands like this, and you know, the Spirit of God just speaks on the inside, people. I mean, you know, I've had, you know, walking in stores, just whatever, and the Spirit of God will say, look at that person, I want you to pray for them. I don't know them from whoever they are. But I said, okay, Lord, I'll just start praying for them. Not that He said, go up to them. He didn't say that. Pray for them. Lord, you know what they're going through. We don't know. Maybe they're on the suicidal list that the devil is bombarding and trying to destroy their lives. We don't know what their home life is like. You know, what's going on in their personal lives. We don't know sometimes. But people, we're in the army of Almighty God. And let me tell you, God Almighty has won the battle, people. He's won. And He's coming again one day. It says one day he's going to split those de-stretched eyes and will come back with his church, people. What a day that will be. It says the trumpet will blow. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remaining will be caught up together with him. And so shall we ever be with him. And you know when we're coming back? On that millennial day. Well, the second coming of Christ, which will start right out. Armageddon and believable, that's the same thing. But praise God, what a day that will be. Look, if we have a hope that the world doesn't have. We have a hope in our God that he can take care of things. That's the kind of God we serve. Look at this. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. We'll be closing with this to you. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Believe what he says to believe. Believe what he says to believe at this point. And let him work in our hearts and in our lives. Acts chapter 26. Praise God Almighty. Look at this, talking about the conversion of Paul, of Saul. I'm going to read the scriptures and we'll talk a little bit about it, not much. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun shining around about me, and him who journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of these things which you have seen, of those things which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith, which is in you. Okay. Here we see Saul. Excuse me. Here we see Saul, which had a mighty conversion. You know, we read about his conversion, I mean, look. But let me tell you, ours is just as important. With God is important. With God is important. We know that Saul was kicking against those pricks. You know, that's when, you know, the horses, they put pricks behind them so that they would kick, you know, that they would go forward instead of going to the side, you know, or backing up. You know, they didn't want those carriages to back up, so they put those pricks. And it says that Saul was kicking against the pricks. That means he was frustrating the grace of God. He was frustrating the grace of God. And God finally, as people were praying, as you know, Saul was a great man then, but he would go into houses and take Christians out and children and have them killed and all kinds of stuff. It was not thinking he was doing the work of God. But as you know, Christians started praying. And let me tell you, don't ever think that your prayers don't go before God and God doesn't answer your prayers. Just as they started to pray for Saul, God started to move upon that situation. They didn't know what God would do. But here he is, riding on a donkey, going to Damascus, onto our horse. And all of a sudden it says a light shone. And it says they all fell off their hearts, every one of them, because of the brightness of the light, because of God Almighty and how bright he is. And Saul kept kicking. Can you imagine being raised in a place or a religion thinking that, you know, that what I was doing was wrong? And God had to come in and show the right path and the right way. You see, it's hard for us to change. Yes? It's hard. Who wants to change? You've been doing something for 30 years the same way. Who wants to change? Not that it's wrong, but if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. But you know what? We've been doing things, you know, every one of us grew up in a religion that's not Christian, if you want to say it like this, probably. I know I was Catholic before. Everybody was different religions, whatever, Catholic, Baptist, whatever. And sometimes, you know, we were raised in areas and we were taught things that just wasn't right according to the Word of God. And so God had to come in and we had to be taught by pastors and preachers and taught by the Holy Spirit what was right and what was wrong and not according to what man says is right and wrong. And it's hard to change. It's like taking an onion and peeling it layer by layer. Lord, that hurts. Ooh, that hurts. Ooh, that hurts. Lord, can you wait a while? Let me heal, please. It starts over again. But you see, we got to let God be God in our hearts and in our lives. We got to change when he says to change. We got to be on course with the things that God wants us to do, that we don't frustrate the grace of God, that we don't frustrate our Lord and Savior, his grace that's being poured out upon us. That we do what he calls us to do, when he wants us to do it, and how he wants us to do it. Because that's God. He's in charge. You know, I've had people, you know, talk with many, many people. You know, they'll say they're looking for a church. And maybe they look at, they see the blank on my face, like, okay. Then I'll tell them, you have no choice. It's like, what? And we live in an age where, you know, I can choose where I want to go. I can choose what I want to do. And I said, no. This is the deal. You, and I'm talking, I say myself too, I have no choice where I go to church. Because it's the Holy Spirit and God the Father that says where we go. We're not our own anymore. We're not our own. We are God. We are God. We are bought with a price. We're bought with the blood of Jesus. We are not our own anymore. That he tells us where to go. He tells us what to do. I mean, you don't have to pray and say, Lord, can I eat a bowl of cereal today? Come on now. That's going a little too far. You'll say, eat one or two, you know, whatever. But I mean, you know, what I'm saying is these decisions are not ours. And I tell these people, you have no choice where you go to church. God has that choice. And I can see it on their face and it's like, and most of them will say, yes, you're right. I said, so what you do is you go and you pray. And you say, Lord, where do you want us? And that's where you go. I said, you don't look at the music, you don't look at the chairs, you don't look at the building, you don't look at the pastor, you don't look at any of those things. But you go where God says to go. Because you see, when you go where God wants you to be, you're not frustrating the grace of God anymore. That means you're not stopping, and I'm not stopping the blessings and the anointing and the power and his presence upon our lives. See, we don't realize. Sometimes we walk around and we're like little beavers. You know how a beaver, one stick at a time, builds that dam, and all of a sudden there's no more water flowing from one side to the other side. We don't realize that the little decisions we make are putting, and it might be wrong decisions most of the time, that we're putting a stick here and a stick there, and it's stopping the flow of the Spirit. So what we do is we say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. He wipes all that clean and he says, now from this day forward, listen to me. I know myself, if I would have listened to him more, I would have had my foot put in my mouth so many times. You just need to listen. That still small voice. He's a shepherd, people. He's a shepherd that loves his people. That loves his people. And loves and takes care of his people. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Go where God tells you to go. It's good to have you all here today. Amen. Go where God wants you to be. And let me tell you, the blessings and the anointing will be upon your life. Look, God loves you so much and loves me so much. words love, just saying God loves us is like not enough. It's not, what else can we say? He sent his son to die for me. That he did not know, really, you know, till, you know, we were born years later. But he loves us so much. And he will do whatever it takes to keep us close to him and close to his heart. Don't frustrate the grace of God ever again. You might say, what do I do if I make a mistake or I don't follow what God wants? Or God speaks to me something I'm not sure. What do you do is you take it to the Lord every day. And God says something and you're not sure. Because then, you know, there. You know, God can speak to me in a store and say, go pray with somebody, and that has to do. Or God could say, start another church somewhere, and that's a big business. You know, as far as praying about these things, they're both important and on the same level. But to pray about these things, you see, just take it. So when that happens, you take it to them and say, Lord, you see what's going on. You know, I told you I was about to close, how long, 10 minutes ago? I heard a story of a pastor. He said, somebody from his church went to him and said, Pastor, I want to buy you a home. I want to build you a home. I'm going to pay for all the material. I'm going to pay for even the lot, for it, wherever you want it. I'll pay for everything. Get free for you. And the pastor man looked at this guy and said, thank you, thank you. I mean, he took it like, okay, Lord. And later, the next day, he was in prayer. He said, all of a sudden, there was something on the inside that kept saying, no, no. On the outside, it looks good. I mean, anybody comes up to you, you know, wants to build you a brand new home and debt-free or give you a car or, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what is God's best for you? That's what we have to understand. And he said he kept praying about it for days and weeks. He kept praying about it. The guy kept calling him, saying, when can we get started? I have the architect ready to draw it up, do all kinds of stuff for you. And he said, one day, he said, I had to obey the Lord. And I had to call my friend that was in my church. I had to get with him and say, sir, I love you. Thank you for wanting to do what you wanted to do. But I cannot accept it. That would be hard, you know. And so he said, you know, the pastor said a few months up to a year later, he said, I understood why. He never said why. But he said, now I understand why. So you see, we don't understand everything. We gotta pray about things. And let that still small voice speak to us, led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Don't frustrate the things of God. I've been praying, Lord, don't let me frustrate you in any way, Lord. Help me to be pleasing in your sight continuously. Help me, you know. You know how you have the calm kid. Got the body one on this side, and so the belt stays on this side. The walking. We don't want to be the rowdy boy. We want to listen to the things of God and not frustrate him in any way.